My Easter message this morning is entitled, Doing the Impossible. Doing the Impossible. I don't know if you heard the news this week about a certain Japanese man who, something happened to him that he didn't really expect. Something incredible that he thought was impossible happened to him. The story went like this. He'd withdrawn a large sum of money from his account. 5 million yen. Anybody know how much that is in pounds? How much is 5 million Japanese yen? 24,000 pounds. That's a lot of money. He'd taken it out of his account and he took it home again. And to make sure that nobody stole it, he wanted to hide it somewhere in his house. Kids, where would you hide a lot of money in your house if you didn't want anyone to steal it? What place would you hide it in? In the loft, all right? Where else would you hide it? In a piggy bank, that'd be a good idea. Where would you hide it? Under your pillow. All great places. Shall I tell you where this Japanese man hid his money? He put it in a rubbish sack and put it in the waste paper bin. Do you think that's a safe place? It's not, because guess what happened? His wife didn't realize it was money. And you can guess what happened next. She threw it away. £24,000 in a black bin bag, and she threw it away. The man was distraught. He thought he'd lost all his money. He waited, and he just thought it was impossible he'd ever see it again. But then there was a knock at the door a few days later, this week, and it was a policeman with his bag of money. Somebody had found it at the dump. Something was in the bag that had his address on. The police brought it back, and he got all his money back again. Don't you think that's an incredible story? It's impossible, isn't it? It was seemingly impossible. There's no way that's going to happen. But it did. He thought he'd seen the last of his money. But it came back to him. The thing about Easter is the world thought they'd seen the last of Jesus. But he came back. It was seemingly impossible. But he came back to this world out of that cold, dark, closed, sealed, guarded tomb. His body came back to life and he rose from the grave. You never thought you would have seen it, but the world did. You see, Easter is something unstoppable. Easter is about the purpose of God to save millions and millions of human lives. It's far more important than one Japanese man and his money. It's far more serious than that. No wonder Easter makes the news every year. Can you ever remember a year in your life when Easter didn't make the news? There's never been one. It makes the news every year. Because it's the most incredible thing that ever happened. The Japanese man finding his money made the news, but only once. We will never hear from him again, I guess. But you hear from Jesus about him every single year. Because so important is the saving of human lives. But, you know, there were events in that first Easter that seemed to be utterly impossible. Certainly to our thinking, weren't there? But certain things are possible with God. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says exactly that. The verse in the Bible goes like this. With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Jesus said that himself. He was talking about somebody that was very rich and really was in love with his money so much that he worshipped it. And he was talking about how hard it is for somebody who worships money to also be able to worship God properly. Now, I don't know about that Japanese man, whether he worshipped his money. But I do know that Jesus then went on to say that it's a bit like a camel going through the eye of a needle. Imagine a big camel going through the little tiny eye of a needle and how impossible that is. And then Jesus added, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And Easter cannot be understood unless we grasp this verse. You'll never understand, and I'll never understand, what Jesus did for us, both on the cross and coming back to life, unless we understand that with man, some of these things are impossible. But with God, all things are impossible. You might as well try and live to be 5,000. You might as well try and eat 1,000 Cadbury's cream eggs for your lunch. You might as well try and do that, unless you understand that with Jesus and the events of Easter, certain things that seem impossible are only possible with God. I want to look at a few of them. Let me ask a few questions of things that seem impossible about Easter. Here's a few, look, that are seemingly possible. Do you agree with me? How about this top one? How can a man be pronounced dead on a Friday and then come alive again on Sunday? It wasn't that he swooned death. He was pronounced dead. They stuck a spear in his side and blood and water came out. He was dead. His blood had congealed. You can't live like that. He was pronounced dead. And then a couple of days later, he came alive. How can that be? That seems impossible. How about this one at the bottom? How could Jesus appear to a group of his disciples in the middle of a room when all the doors were locked? If we locked all these windows and all these doors, and then suddenly a friend of yours turned up in the middle of this service without a key, that would seem to be impossible. Because you can only get in through the doors, or, I don't know, maybe lowered in through the roof or something. But Jesus, after his resurrection, appeared in the middle of a locked room. That seems impossible. Here's a couple more. This is about his death. How could an innocent man facing a death sentence be silent and not speak up in his defense? How could he do that? How about, why didn't someone with such power as Jesus had, and he's shown it, remember, in lots of ways, how could he not save himself from the cross? If Jesus was all powerful, maybe you've asked yourself that question. Maybe you said, well, I can't really believe in the Christian message, because if Jesus had such power, why didn't he come down off the cross? Maybe you've asked that. It's a conundrum, isn't it? It seems impossible. Here's a couple more. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, how could it be dark as night from noon to 3 p.m.? How could that happen? And how about this? When Jesus died, how could the earth quake, the rocks split, and the tombs open up at the exact moment of his death? That doesn't happen when people die. They're extraordinary events. All these things seem to be impossible. But I want to suggest this morning, friends, the answer to all of these is the same. With man, these things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. I want to think about those just for a few minutes. Let's look at the first one. How could an innocent man facing a death sentence be silent and not speak up in his own defense? Let's ask the children what they think about that. Kids, can I ask you a question? If you get blamed for something and you get told off by your mum and dad or by a teacher, but you definitely didn't do it, do you stay quiet? What do you say? If you've not done it, right, you're innocent, you didn't do it, but somebody blames you and they're about to tell you off. What kind of stuff do you say? What do you say when that happens? You scream. Right, I can believe that, actually. You scream. All right, what do you say? It wasn't me. All right, what? Anybody else? What does anybody else say? What do you... My sister did it. I was hoping someone was going to say that. I used to say the same. It wasn't me, it was my brother's fault. He broke the window. And you see, yeah? Because you're the oldest and all, yeah, you get blamed. It's not like that, is it? You see, our kids know that. If they get blamed for something they haven't done, of course it's right that you speak out, isn't it? It's right. And we do the same. Imagine it's your child. Imagine your child gets blamed at school for, I don't know, assaulting the headmistress or something. But it wasn't them. You'd speak out, wouldn't you? You'd speak up. We all would. Jesus went before three judges, the Jewish high priest, the king of Israel, and the Roman governor, Pilate. He went before three judges. He was accused of crimes he'd not committed. He was an innocent man, but he didn't speak up in his own defense. He didn't say, it's not true. He didn't try and defend himself. It seems incredible, doesn't it? Let's look at the words. Here's a prophecy about his death that came absolutely true, word for word. As a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He didn't defend himself. And when he was before Pilate, the Roman governor, this is what happened, look. Jesus gave him no answer, that's to Pilate. And Pilate got annoyed. Do you refuse to speak to me, Pilate said? Don't you realize I've power either to free you or to crucify you? And he did, in one sense. Jesus answered, you would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. You see, Jesus was quiet. Jesus didn't defend himself. Jesus didn't try and get out of the cross. He gave no answer. In an exceptional turn of events. The reason? Well, because he knew that something was going on there which was from above. I've underlined those two words, look. From above. Jesus knew that power is given from above, from God. Even to Pilate. And Jesus had come from above. He'd come from heaven to earth. And he'd come to die on a cross, which was a plan, a mission hatched in heaven, hatched from above. It was God's plan. And he knew he had to go there. If Jesus didn't go to the cross, then none of us here today, not me, not you, not anybody, could have their hearts cleaned and their sins taken away. Nobody. And he knew that. So he chose, in an exceptional, seemingly impossible way, to keep his mouth closed, even when he was innocent. Because God's mission, God's work, was to save people. That's seemingly impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Let's look at the second one. Why didn't someone with such power as Jesus had shown not save himself from the cross? That's a reasonable question, that, isn't it? In the light of other things Jesus had done. He'd met a leper. It was an incurable disease in those days. And he'd healed the leper. Got power to do that. He'd met numerous blind people, made them see. He met people that were lame, couldn't walk all of their lives. He'd make them walk. He'd come across people that had died. He'd interrupted funeral services, not with wailing, but with rejoicing. Because he'd brought people back to life in the middle of a funeral. Can you imagine that? This is real power. He'd spoken to a storm on the sea, told it to be still, and it did. Real power. So if he's got power like that, doesn't it seem to be impossible that he'd surrender himself to death? That's a reasonable question. He turned water into wine. He disappeared from a crowd that wanted to mob him. Why couldn't he just bring himself down from the cross? It's a bit like this. Imagine we had a master escapologist here. And we watched him get out of a straitjacket, you know, with his arms all tied up. And he'd gone into a box, and the box was then locked, and there were chains all around it. And we had all this in front, and we all then watched, perhaps just some nice drum rolls and stuff. And he got out of the box with incredible skill, undone all the chains and all the locks, and shown that he could do it. And then we wrapped him up with paper bags and said, get out of that. Of course he can do it. Do you think? If he can get out of a box with chains, he can get out of a paper bag. But let's say he refused to do it. So we jeered him. Come on, show us your power. Why can't you do this? Well, that's exactly what they did with Jesus. We've got a verse that shows exactly what they did. They mocked him. This is when he's hanging on the cross on Good Friday. They mocked him. He saved others, they said. But he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross. And we'll believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Friends, the reason he didn't come down from the cross was because he didn't come to earth to respond to the jeers and the challenges of men. They shouted all kinds of things at him in his life. They even called him evil when he did good things. Jesus didn't come just to respond to our whims and our jeers and our mocking. He came to deal with the problem of our hearts. And to do that, he had to stay on the cross and pay for our sin. And he was willing to do it. He was willing to do it. It's incredible. He took our punishment so we'd be set free from punishment. He paid for our crimes so that we wouldn't have to after the end of our lives. It's about rescue. In fact, the clue is in the text. You can see that even those that mocked said, why doesn't God rescue him? It was about rescue, but not God rescuing Jesus. It was about God rescuing us by him being in our place. He came down into the firing line in order that we might be rescued and set free. Amazing. Seems to be impossible, but it's possible with God. How about the next one? When Jesus was actually hanging on the cross. How about that darkness there? How could it be dark as night from noon to 3 o'clock? Can any of the kids here this morning tell me what time it gets dark at night? Are you all in bed by the time it gets dark? Oh, I didn't think so. What time does it get dark then at the moment? Anybody have a guess? What sort of time does it get dark at night? Anybody? About seven. Okay, any advance on seven? Has anyone ever seen it get dark at dinner time, lunchtime? Anyone ever seen it dark at noon, 12 o'clock, lunchtime? Anybody?
Never. I've never seen it either. Now, you can talk about the total eclipse if you like, a few years ago, but that lasted for what, 53 minutes? There's never been an eclipse that's lasted for 3 hours, never. So it couldn't have been an eclipse. But from noon to 3 p.m., there was darkness over the whole land of Israel. Incredible. Seems impossible. It was springtime, and in the Middle East in springtime, it's hot, the sun's high in the sky. How on earth could it be dark? Seems impossible. But while Jesus was on the cross, that darkness came down. We've got an explanation. Because Jesus, at the end of the 3 hours of darkness, this is what happened. From the sixth hour, that's noon, until the ninth hour, that's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. And then about the ninth hour, at the end of that 3 hours, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's explaining what was going on in the 3 hours. God was turning his back on Jesus, his own son, cutting him off, if you will. And that darkness over the land was God's way of saying to the whole world, please understand what's happening here. Don't miss it. I am cutting my son off while he's paying for your sins so that you don't have to be cut off from me forever. Incredible. God took that for us. It's an amazing truth. It seems to be impossible, but when you realize all things are possible with God, and when you realize what he was trying to achieve, it's a massive and important event for us, that darkness. Jesus hanging on the cross for my sins. How about the moment that he died? The next question was about the moment of his death. How could all these things happen? The earth quake and the rocks split, tombs open up. I think most of us would agree that's not the normal thing to happen at the moment that somebody dies. You wouldn't expect that at all. But that is what happens. We've got a record of exactly that happening. Here it is, you see, in Matthew's Gospel, a bit further on after the reading we had earlier on. When Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook. That's the earthquake, look. The rocks split. The ground opening up. The tombs broke open. And the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. That's exceptional. It seems to be impossible. It's almost unbelievable. But we've got eyewitness accounts that exactly those things happened. One of the eyewitness accounts was not a Christian, not a follower of Jesus, not a disciple, not somebody that you might think would be biased. One of the eyewitness accounts was a Roman who'd been responsible for putting Jesus on the cross. He hated the Jews. He hated Jesus. He'd actually killed him. But he saw this with his eyes. He passed it on. He gave a true account. And he said, truly, this man was a son of God when he saw these things happen at his death. I suppose we could say it's a bit like, you know, when a captain walks off his boat, you know, a naval captain and all the thousands of troops on board, they're all under his command. When he walks off the boat, let's say they all saluted him. Or let's say the big band played to celebrate him going off, all the trumpets or something like that. Or maybe the director of a play who's been in charge of everything. As he walks off stage after the final curtain call, all of the people applaud him. He's the director. And as he walks off, it's as if everybody in that theatre applauds and celebrates the one who was in control. When all this happened at the moment of Jesus' death, it's almost as if the world applauded him. It's almost as if the very earth that he made shook to say, that was the death of the one who made us. That was the death of the one who's in control. That's the death of the glorious director of everything. He's our Saviour. He's our Lord. And then, of course, the raising of the people. Well, that's almost more extraordinary, isn't it? It's almost as if it's not some Michael Jackson video like Thriller from the 1980s. You might remember that, where all these people are supposed to be sort of coming up from the graves and spooking us all. Jesus didn't do this to spook people. I'm sure people were afraid. But this happened so that we might see that death is not the end. That Jesus' death and resurrection was so that we could live beyond the grave. In 2 weeks' time, exactly 2 weeks' time today, I've got to preach in a cemetery in Ukraine. It's only once a year they do that, but it's a very extraordinary day in Ukraine. All of the Ukrainian people go and visit their relatives who are in the graves, and everybody goes and they have a meal around the graves, and I've got to stand up and preach in a cemetery to about 1,000 people. And I'm really hoping that nobody comes out of the grave to listen to me. That would scare the living daylights out of the preacher. But I am hoping that people that are alive in that cemetery
understand that death is not the end, and that beyond the grave there is life. Jesus proved that when people came back to life the moment he died, because he'd opened the door to heaven. And then when he came back to life, he said, all of you who trust in me can live beyond the grave as well. I think I've got one more question. Or two, in fact. How can a man be pronounced dead on a Friday and come back to life again on a Sunday? How could he do that? How could the resurrection be true? Well, this is how. These are some words that Jesus spoke. He put it like this. I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. Now, can one of the kids tell me which word I've underlined twice on that screen? Can you tell me a word I've underlined twice? Can you read it out for me, nice and loud? Authority. Well done. What does authority mean? If you've got authority, what does that mean? Anybody know? If you've got authority, do you know? Means you're in charge. You're the boss. Do you like to be the boss? I mean, imagine I decided, for instance, that I didn't like the colour of these walls. What do you think about the colour of these walls and these doors? It's a bit horrible colour, this, isn't it, really? So let's say I decided that I didn't like the colour of all these doors. And I want to paint them, I don't know, green or something. I can't do it because I haven't got the authority. I'm not the boss of this hall. We just rent it on a Sunday. I don't work for the council. I'm not the boss. I haven't got authority. But if it was my bedroom at home, any of you kids chosen the colour of your bedroom? I bet you have. Did anybody choose the colour of your bedroom to paint on the walls? Anyone ever done that? You did. What colour did you choose? Blue. Good choice. Did you choose? Pink. Ooh, lovely. So you could choose it, yeah? Pink as well. Isn't it? Yeah? What's that? Oh, you haven't got your hand up. Okay. Did you have a colour? What was that? Blue. Okay. You see, you've got the authority at home. I wouldn't at home either, because Tatiana would sort of tell me what colour it ought to be. But you see, you've got authority in your room because it's your bedroom, right? But you haven't got the authority to say what colour this door. Neither have I. But in your room you have. You see, Jesus said, I've got authority in my world. Because he says, I've got authority. It's mine to lay down and mine to take back again. I've got authority. I've got power. Jesus could do that. It's a statement of compelling evidence that he was a son of God and that he could lay his life down and take it back up again. Amazing. Seemingly impossible. But remember, all things are possible with God. Don't think of it in a human way. Think of it as a demonstration of God's incredible power. This is my last question now. Next one. How could Jesus appear to a group of his disciples in the middle of a room when all the doors were locked? Well, we've got a record of that exactly happening. Let's just have a look at it. Because when they were met one time, he appeared. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand. Put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. I've underlined three phrases that explain how he could do it. First, look, notice it was physical. Put your finger here. He wasn't a ghost. You can't reach your finger out and touch a ghost. So you can't explain it away by saying it was an optical illusion. It was real, physical, because he said, Thomas, reach out and touch me. He was physically alive after the grave. So it can't be that. Then he says, stop doubting and believe. See, Jesus sees the doubt in their eyes. They're thinking just like you. That's impossible. It can't be. Jesus sees their thinking that. And he speaks to their hearts and he says, stop doubting and believe. Not only is it possible for me to be here, but it's possible for you to believe it. If only you'll stop doubting, it's possible. It's true. It's physical. I'm really here. Touch and see. And then the third, we see that both things are reasonable because he is actually God. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. He realized and he bowed down before him and he said, you are my Lord and my God. Of course God could step into a room without the doors. He made the world. He has a way in. My brother's a computer programmer. And when computer programmers write programs, they always make a back door, don't they, for them to be able to get in. Any of you kids got a PlayStation? Have you got any cheats for games on the PlayStation or your computer? You got some cheats? What do your cheats allow you to do? Yeah? Jetpack cheat. Oh, so you get a jetpack for your character. That's good, isn't it? Or sometimes if you get a cheat for your PlayStation, you can jump up a level or get right to the end or have maximum strength or something like that.
They're called back doors because the computer programmers, they're the ones in charge. They write the programs. There are these little secret ways in. They can get in because they wrote the program. They can put in as many cheats as they like. Well, Jesus didn't cheat, but he's got a way into anywhere he wants in this world because he made it. He's the program. He designed it. And so, of course, he can get into a room like that. No problem at all. God invented this world. He invented you. So he's got power over his own life. He's got power over ours. Of course, we should bow before him. Easter makes it so clear that we should worship God as, worship Jesus as Lord and God because of the power that he's displayed. And if that's true, of course, he must be responded to. Thomas did what was reasonable. It was perfectly reasonable for him to say that, to bow before him and to call him my God, because of what he'd done for us on the cross. That's my conclusion this morning. Here's the conclusion. Jesus has come as the great bridge builder between us and God. He's the bridge back to God. He hasn't just made it a little bit better. He's rebuilt the bridge. He said there's now a way back to God through the cross, through my resurrection. There's a way back to God. It seems impossible with men, but it's possible with God. He's done it. We can believe. We can get back to God. Stop doubting and believe, he tells us. There's a way now. You don't have to make it up. You don't have to dream it. You don't have to pretend. You don't have to doubt. We're here on Easter Sunday. We've got all the evidence before us in the Bible and in these accounts. Jesus has done everything that's necessary. Now, friends, I know there's a lot of rubbish in the way. Rubbish in my heart and rubbish in yours. Things in my past and things in yours. There's all this rubbish in the way. Things you've said to God, things you think he's done to you that you didn't deserve. All this baggage, all this rubbish, all the issues. Things that we feel guilty about that we find very hard to have a peaceful conscience. Yes, there's lots of things in the way. But Jesus dying on the cross to take away our sins means that all of that junk and rubbish and sin and guilt and issues, it can be removed. There is a way. There is a bridge. There is a door back to God. It's not impossible. It's impossible with men. We can't do it ourselves. But all things are possible with God. Easter teaches us that. The verse we put on our card, I'll finish with this. Our Easter invitation card, maybe you have this through your door. It's from a bit later on in the Bible, and it goes like this. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Real love that sacrifices its life. Jesus did that for us so that we might live with God forever. Can I encourage you this morning not to snub that love and not to just live in this world as if this is all there is, because there is more. And Jesus offers it. And he calls us to trust him and to receive the gift of eternal life. It's not impossible. All things are possible with God. Thank you for listening. Let's have a little prayer. Lord, we thank you for this message. And we thank you that you have written it down in the Bible. And we know that these words are true and right. And we pray that you would help all of us this morning in our hearts to stop doubting and to believe. And we pray that we might see Jesus for who he really is and be able to trust in him. Cleanse us from our sins, we pray. Receive us in his name. And may this Easter truly be a special and happy celebration for every one of us. As we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.